called my brother. And do not love the many things that are within the world. All that's in the world, my brother. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, they are not of God. Do not love the world, my brother. And do not love the many things that are within the world. All that's in the world, my brother. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, they are not of God. Whosoever is a child of God, is born of God, will overcome. Greater is he that is in you. Will overcome. For I am living in this world, but I'm not of the world. And so if I am a child of God, I'm born of God, I'll overcome. Oh yeah. And so if I am a child of God, I'm born of God, I'll overcome. Don't be friends with the world, my sister. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? If anyone loves the world, my sister, then we know that the love of the Father is not in him, is not in him. So if you make the world your friend, then you can never be a friend of God. Don't be friends with the world, my sister. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? If anyone loves the world, my sister, then we know that the love of the Father is not in him, is not in him. So if you make the world your friend, then you can never be a friend of God. Is a child of God, is born of God, will overcome. Greater is he that is in you than in the world, you'll overcome. For I am living in this world, but I'm not of the world. And so if I am a child of God, I'm born of God, I'll overcome. Oh yeah. Whosoever is a child of God, is born of God, will overcome. Oh, greater is he that is in you than in the world, will overcome. I am living in this world, but I'm not of the world. And so if I am a child of God, I'm born of God, I'll overcome. And so if I am a child of God, I'm born of God, I'll overcome. Oh yeah. And so if you are a child of God, you're born of God, he will overcome the world. You are a child of God, you're born of God, you'll overcome. Oh, 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 oh.
Hallelujah. What a blessing. Father, thank you for today and your blessing to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Your ministry is being transformed. Now, one of the main keys to... Did you enjoy the film about South Africa, beautiful South Africa? Is your country beautiful? So beautiful, isn't it? We've been all over South Africa. There's some more we'll show you when we have the chance. And preaching all over. Same preaching. I'm sure you saw the message, why your soul is important. Preach it somewhere else. Amen. Amazing. Now, one of the important things for that will lead to transformation is removal of devils from your life. Overcoming the devil. Amen. So, there are some things that we need to know that we need to overcome the devil. We all know that the devil is the real enemy. And the devil is the enemy, and sometimes people become devils. And they are also the enemy. Jesus said, one of you is a devil. There are some people that are called devils in the Bible. There are three people called devils in the Bible. One, Judas. That is the word diabolos used on them. Three people. One is Judas. One is pastor's wives. And then the third are... if you don't want to hear the truth, I'll just be quiet. But I'm telling you what's in the Bible. And the third are elderly women. That when he said, the older women should not be slanderers. The word slanderer is diabolos. But I'm sure the guy who was translating was too scared to write, because they translate diabolos always devil. When it says one of you is a devil, Judas, it is one of you is diabolos. And the Bible says, then devils came out of him, or a man which had a devil, had a diabolos. And then when it talks about the deacons and their wives should not be slanderous, then the word slanderous is diabolos. So these are the three places the word diabolos is used. So, it shows you the potential that people have to be devils. Doesn't mean older women. Please don't put it in the news as older women are devils. I beg you. Hey. You never know. Now, but I'm talking about the devil, spiritual devil, who you cannot see. So we must be aware that the devil is a main enemy. Amen. Then the next point, and I'm sharing from my book Transform Your Pastoral Ministry, chapter number 4 about spiritual warfare. The next thing about the devil is that he's intelligent and a master deception, tricks, and fantastic schemes. All right? So Bible says, put on the armor of God that you might stand against the wiles of the devil. So, one of the main things to know when we are working is that we are fighting with something that has a mind, that has a plan. When anytime somebody is intelligent, the person has a plan. Something is working out. All right? So, you must always see the easiest way to deal with the devil, all right, is to deal with what we call imagine something that is not just what it looks at face level. Anything that's happening to you, don't see it at face value or see it as something that is deeper. All right? Something that is deeper, something that is probably not as simple as you may imagine. All right? Like, when you are in primary school, you have to do examinations. 1 + 1 = 2. Then when it gets more complex, it's 2 × 7 × 8/17. It's like a little more complicated. Like you are more clever. Then as it goes on, you come to 2 × 6, divide the x over x2 to the squared, 4 / 1 to the infinity level. Something, you know? Like, the cleverer you get, the more complex things are, and then you have... who is this gentleman filming me with a thing? Is that a... Are you a good person? Or you are media? You are not media. Okay. All right. I'm not used to that. Now, you find out that the devil has got a plan. Things are going in stages. So think in that way. And you'll not see things as simple. If you look at the way any problem that comes up, let's say when television evangelists were attacked, right, in America in the 1980s, it looked like that was all. But it had more. Then after that came an attack on everybody. And then it was replaced with psychics. Until now, it's something else that dominates in America. So you may just think it's just one thing, but it's more than that. So many things, when they are happening, you always have to think that there is an intelligent mind working against you with a plan, with steps. It's 1 + 1 = 2, that's all. It's just simple, but that's more. The devil is more than that. Very, very highly intelligent. All right? I wouldn't be surprised if he's more intelligent than many human beings. And most of us. It takes the wisdom of God to outwit him. Yeah. Your normal thinking will not work. All right? So put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Right. Then number 3. In order to defeat the devil, you should know about him. Okay? And then number 4, you must know that he has a contagious nature which he passes on to his followers. So listen, many things are caused by the devil, okay? And you must know about him, especially to be able to pray for him. By the way, all this message is going to be available on podcast free, the whole thing. It's not a secret, and it's free of charge. You get it. You can just... You don't have to bother to record what I'm saying now. It's on a podcast after, unedited. All right? The whole audio and video. So, gentleman who is recording there, you can relax and get it. Somebody, just enjoy the message. Amen? It's a blessing. We don't sell preaching anymore because of podcasts. You just get it easy. It's available. You don't have to buy. If somebody meets you outside is selling you the preaching,
Don't buy it. It's free. It's available. Yeah, no one is selling that anymore because we don't have anything to sell. All right? The podcast is there after an Android app and Apple phone. You can get it easy. Now, what are we talking about? Devils. So, the devil is, there are many, many types of devils that fight believers. Right, and it is good to see them in your mind's eye so that it helps you to know something that you are praying against. Okay, now most people think that the devil is, how do you say, like something with wings and then a spear, a sword. It's red, color red, right? But really, devils are described in many different ways. And I think it's one of my new books. I'll have that. But what it is that the devil has affected us badly. Do you see? And he has infiltrated, like we were like a pure race. Human beings were like a pure race of good people. Okay? Basically led by Adam, and his main follower was his wife, Eve. Then he came to attack Adam and Eve. All right, and that's the first time you hear a description of the devil as being a snake. Right. Now, in the Bible, many animals are referred to, and many of them exist in the spirit realm. They are spiritual animals. There are spiritual animals. All right, there are spiritual animals. Most of the animals we see on earth have a spiritual version. All right? Just as you have a spiritual version of you. When you die, when Lazarus died, he was in heaven. He was in heaven. He saw the rich man in hell. And the rich man was in torment. And the rich man saw Lazarus afar off. And saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom and cried, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I pray thee, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger." It's describing a human being, finger, which is attached to the hand, which is attached to the lower arm, which is attached to the upper arm, which is attached to the thorax. So that he may dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue. And so the rich man had a tongue, even though he was dead. So he had a spiritual tongue. All right. So there's a spiritual being described. The tongue is in the mouth. That he may cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So his nerves were working, his nerve endings, and his whole nerve central nervous system was fully functioning. So there's a spiritual central nervous system that works and has sensation. So I am tormented in this flame. All right? And then Father Abraham said to him, "No, remember that thou in thy life, remember." So again, memory is working. "Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented." So memory was working. Remember. So memory works. He's describing a full human being. Then he said, "And besides all this, there's between us and you a great gulf fixed, such that they that would pass from hence to thence cannot, neither can they pass from thence to us." So high jump and long jump, just the way it works on earth, is the same thing. The long jump is not going too far, isn't it? So the long jump was not possible. God had put such a gulf that long jump is still not possible to that extent. Are you with me? And then he said, "Then I pray thee, send Lazarus." So transportation is still possible. All right. Send Lazarus. Again, he wanted to send him. He saw someone sendable. Someone who could speak. And they were speaking. So their vocal cords were working. All right. "Send Lazarus to my brothers. For I have five brethren. That they will not come into this place of torments." All right. So you see a full human being described. So that must be a spiritual version of you, which looks like you, because he lifted up his eyes and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And remember that there was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, which had Lazarus, which was laid at the gate of the rich man's house, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So he knew Lazarus very well. He had been giving him chicken and obelinama and chisanyama for years. Are you with me? For years and years. So as soon as he got into heaven, he recognizes, that's the Lazarus. Mention my name to you, tell him, I say, I'm calling him to bring me water. But you see, things have changed. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. So all these are spiritual realities. Amen. Now he desiring to be fed from the crumbs. All right. So now the same thing goes for the devils. All right. Just as you have a spiritual version, devil has a version. Many animals are mentioned in the spirit realm. Serpent is the first one. And the serpent which you don't deal with in the book of Genesis, by the book of Revelation, is turned into a dragon. Bible says that old dragon. Now, a dragon is like a big lizard. Big lizard with horns. And you don't see so many dragons. Now, I watched the dragons on a wildlife once, because I love watching animals and their behavior. Right? The dragon was cast out, that old serpent. So he was the old serpent that has become a dragon. I think he developed horns and legs and in the meantime. Because a long time between Genesis and Revelations to grow. You get it? So the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the world, is being transformed into a dragon. Dragon or dragon, as somebody says. All right. So that's the second animal mentioned. Okay. Then the devil is also called devil is called Beelzebub, the lord of flies, or the supervisor of the fly, like the head fly, or the lord of the insects. Now you see that in the human counterpart, the serpent, what the serpent does, what a dragon does, what the flies do is the same. Flies cause sickness. Most sicknesses are caused by the insect. The flies bring most of the diseases, diarrhea diseases, malaria. Insects bring malaria, Ebola, Zika virus, all the things. Onchocerciasis, they are caused by flies. River blindness, many, many, many diseases caused by flies. Infections spread. All the food things we eat, all that are contaminated, is all from flies, you know, from the toilet. So diseases. So when you talk of fly spirits or insect spirits, you're probably evil spirits of sickness. Now, when you talk about serpent, you know, you talk about changing your life completely and moving you from life to death. You know, I knew a man who was bitten by a snake, and he told me he balanced between life and death for 6 weeks in intensive care in Malaysia. He said half of his skin came off and he was balancing. Now, if you look at the human race, you see that the human race is balancing between life and death. We are almost destroyed, you know, from one bite from Adam and Eve's time up till today. The whole world is shaking. Yeah, destroyed. Then the devil is also called a lion. So the lion which seeketh to devour. He goeth around like a lion. All right? So the lion is also something that is looking for you. So all these, they help you to see what they are. All right? Goes around like a lion. And another part of the Bible, Revelations chapter 18, the devil is described as frogs. He says, and I saw three frogs coming out of the mouth of the beast, which are spirits of devils. So frogs also. All right. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. 16 Revelation. So these animals and creatures exist in the spirit world. Okay. Are you with me? So now, I don't know why, I can't really tell why, unclean spirits, okay, are probably animal spirits, because when Peter had the vision, he saw a lot of unclean spirit, unclean animals, and he said, rise, kill, and eat. It was all these different animals, you see. So I think that most of the unclean spirits are probably these type of animals and different things. People have seen visions, seen monkeys, different creatures all over the place. Now, so these things exist in our lives. Now, listen carefully to this part, because this is where your ministry comes in. How many are interested in the ministry? This is not a prosperity conference. This is ministry. Ministry. All right? Give thyself wholly to the ministry, to God's work. Now, listen carefully to this part. You see, there are only two ways that you can probably fight the devil in a certain way. Okay? One is to displace him a little. And not for long, probably. Because the devil has a lease and a legal right to be in South Africa and in Congo and in Ghana and in America. He seems to have a legal right. So when they met Jesus, they said, have you come to torment us before the time? So it's like there is a time that they are going to be here for. All right, there seems to be some kind of deal. And it seems to be like they are on their way to hell, but are halfway to hell. And if you look in prison, when you go to prison, they keep moving you from prison to prison. Sometimes you go, you are in this part for some time. Then after that, you go to another place. All right, so it looks like they are being kept in reserve in darkness, which is in this world, for the time before they are finally put in hell. Now, whilst they are here, all right, they seem to have a legal power to be in places. Do you see? And number two, it's not easy to remove them. And when they are there, they affect the place so much. Do you see? So when Jesus met the madman of Gadara with a legion of devils, which is about 6,200 plus demons, they said, don't send us out of this country. So every country, and Jesus actually agreed. Yeah. So it seems that moving them out of a location seems to be a very difficult thing. So when you are dealing with devils, I think that probably you can only shift them a little. But they stay. You see? And so maybe in pockets, you are able to shift them away. Yes. By your prayers. By your fasting. You know? And the main thing is to move them. But you can't move them far. Jesus didn't move the devil far. Yeah. He just relocated them. Go to the right. Go out of this man. If I said, this kind goeth out, not by, but by this or by that. Amen. So their presence, right, spoils things. It's like, if you want to think of it, one person, like Judas, one person, his presence spoils everything. One of you is a devil. Ended the ministry of Jesus. If you want to think of it in that. Ended the ministry. Spoiled the fellowship. Introduced something that was not there before. Just one person. So one devil present, just present, causes a lot of things. So it is important to remove devils. So when pastors don't pray, because prayer moves demons. Yes. prayer moves. This kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting. So there are devils that are working in your lives and all our lives that have to be shifted. If it is even just outside your house, just out to the out of the gate. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. At least through your prayers, these devils must shift. So a prayerless pastor and a prayerless pastor's wife and a prayerless associate, you know, sometimes you have only the main person praying. What happens is that the devils gradually become comfortable. And they relax in your environment. So when you have a pastor who is not praying much, not fasting, not waiting on God, you have these creatures, if your eyes were to open, you see them all coming. This is a good place to be. This is a good place to be. So any man of God who is not into prayer is having more devils, whether flies, snakes, frogs, lions, dragons, and other creatures. I'm coming to the other creatures. Spiritual horses. There are spiritual horses too. I saw a rider. The one who sat on him was death. A pale horse. What's that one too? Bringing death, destruction, poverty, famine, diseases, plagues. Yes. You know, when Ebola virus was going around, it went everywhere except Ghana. Yeah. It avoided even unstable governments. It came from Sierra Leone, then it went to Liberia. It's like something that moved. Then it went to Cote d'Ivoire and stopped at our border. Then went to Burkina Faso. Then the latest one was Gambia. Yeah, it's like it's something that walks around. Yeah, it's like something on a horse. It's moving. But you know, there's a man in Ghana, he's praying always, Archbishop Duncan Williams, he's always praying for the nation. Yeah. And I am sure that when apartheid was ending, there were pastors who were praying, and that horse with a rider of death couldn't come in to the country and couldn't be established here. Yeah. Now, the devil is very persistent. This is one of the things you must know about the devil. If you say no to him, he just goes and comes right back. That is why when some people are finishing their discussion with you, they will tell you, don't call us, we'll call you. Don't call us, we'll call you. Don't call, we'll call. If we need you, we'll call you. That's what they told Osama bin Laden when he came to Saudi Arabia. After Afghanistan defeating the Russians, he came to Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War when this Kuwait was invaded, and he offered his help because he had been involved in defeating Russia and Afghanistan. So he said, we will defeat another superpower, which is USA. So he came to see the Saudi government that he wants to help them to defeat. And they said, this is not Afghanistan. No, thank you. Don't call us, we'll call you. Tell somebody, don't call us, we'll call you. So that's when he went to Sudan from there. And from there, he operated. Do you see? Anyway, so the devil, you need to say to him, don't call us, we'll call you. Because he doesn't feel shy to keep calling. Each time you are nasty to him, he just calls again. tomorrow. He just keeps calling. He just keeps calling. He's shameless. And there are human beings like that. That's why you say, don't call us. We will call you. Don't call me. I will call you. Hey. When Jesus came to this world, the first temptation when he went to the wilderness was, ha, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Everything was, if you are the Son of God. Show. All the way through, he was being tempted to show that until the cross, the last few, let's say, 15 minutes to going out, it was the same thing. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Same voice, same devils, same type of temptation. He has no shame at all to keep trying to the last point. So don't think that South Africa is going to be left, and any country for that matter. The same spirit that was trying to come, that was rebuffed, always keep trying to come back in different ways all the time. So we need to pray. When you talk about church, hey, you need to pray. You need to be spiritual and pray. And the prayers dislodge devils, dislodge snakes, dislodge lions, dislodge frogs, dislodge horses. And it's like they are forced to move away. In the same way that insecticide drives away and clears the environment. So prevent them from descending. All right. So when you see a pastor who just come to preach, you know, this modern ministries, just advertisement, media, social media, and what else? PowerPoint and modern presentations, you know, cannot dislodge the devil. So if you look at America, you see that America is descending. You know, America, the church has always had a headquarters, like in the world, like the world headquarters of the church. The church started, Jerusalem was the headquarters. Then it moved to Antioch. That was where the main things happened. Then after that, it moved to Rome, the Catholic Church. Do you see? And then it moved to I don't know about England, maybe England, then America. So it keeps moving, depending on what happens. The devil doesn't like your presence there. So you see that the headquarters of the church is no more in America. No, it's somewhere else, probably in Africa. Like where there's church, people pray, they fast, and they believe the word. They are mostly fighting certain moral issues and so on. And that is not, it's a spirit. You can't fight it legally. You can fight legally, but it's also something that is invading. And that's why they keep losing all the fights. And you talk about prayer and talk about, even like the song Ida was saying, love not the world, neither the things I do. Such things are not said anymore. And you don't talk about sin, you don't talk about evil, don't talk about what is in the Bible anymore. You know? We're talking about prayer, fasting, praying to God for hours. These are strange things. Yes. It's just some kind of a good life, good marriage, have a happy life, live well, bring up your children, your grandchildren, and so on. That is not ministry. Ministry is war. These are things in the Bible. Anything I tell you that is not in the Bible, spit it out of your mouth and rubbish it. If it's not in the Bible, rubbish it and throw it. It's not worth your time to even think about it. It's not worth. Who am I? I'm just a man. Why should you listen to me if I'm not telling you something from the Bible? It has no basis. Why do you waste your emotions to even listen to it? But if it's in the Bible, you check for yourself and see if it is in the Bible, then you take it. If it's not in the Bible, it's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's not worth it. I mean, you are too mature to listen to nonsense. We are talking about the Bible and what is involved in ministry. So the presence of devils, you must move devils. That's the thing. Through your prayers, you must move devils. This is the main thing. If you sit down and you allow They will just, because they fly, and another one is birds. Revelation 8 is, Babylon the Great is fallen, and it's become the habitation of devils. And every unclean bird, and hateful bird, he calls them birds. All right? It's become a cage, habitation of devil, the hold of every foul spirit, an unclean and hateful bird. So if you sit down, devils will fly into your ceiling. Insects will be there. Lion will be sitting at the gate of the church when members are coming to say, "Whoa," and the members will go away. Yes. Diseases. Strange diseases. Violent. So that is why areas have the same things. You even wonder whether there is an announcement that from here onwards, this thing should start. Then from here onwards, it should stop. And then from here onwards, when I went to Zimbabwe, I asked, "Do you have crime?" I said, "There is no crime here." Yeah, they have no crime, no police. You don't see police there doing anything. No crime, violence, nothing. Zimbabwe, right from the border onwards, it's changed. The kind of things that you have here, there's nothing like that in Zimbabwe. Is it not true? Are you not from Zimbabwe? Yeah. There's nothing like that. Don't kill people. No the type of violence. Nothing. Yeah. It's like two different worlds. It's as if the border has been out. But it's like, you look at, so if you can picture these spirits as animals, then you look at how the animals behave. They behave territorially. Lions will take this area. Don't you watch the wildlife? What you are the wildlife. Your wildlife is from here. When I say something about animals, why does it sound strange to you? Huh? Why would you want to dissociate from something I say about animals? The animals are territorial. They will wee here, and put a whole. They mark the area, and it's like, this is our area. It's amazing. So you see that spirits mark out areas. And there are spirits here in the Caleb community. Different spirits in the black side. Different spirits, even within South Africa, it changes. So when you are a minister, and you just sit there, you know, I wonder what you will achieve. Yeah. So maybe you even wonder why, you know, the Caleb Church are not getting bigger. Because it's up to you. It's up to you to rise up and pray in such a way that the spirits are moved or shifted, at least from a sector. You cannot rid the earth. But let's take lions and some of the wild animals. At least they are restricted even on earth. You can't have a lion outside on the street here. It's too dangerous. So they have been kept. Even you think that it's a large area and they are free, but they are actually confined. You can't have them ranging all over the place. So your prayers and your intercessions is going to block the insects, block the lions, and even some of them will calmly move away. Quietly, they move away. Yes. I was watching a documentary once about, I don't know which group it was, lions or something like that. And they were saying how this has happened, and they kept moving. Then they said, then there was one animal, new creature that came, and that brought the end up to them, and that was human beings. When they showed the human settlements, and that was it, the lions could not stay there anymore. They had to move. It's like, you must rate the area of dangerous things. And it's the same thing. So I'm expecting you, pastors, to be in fasting and prayers. Different types of fasts. We have total fasting. Fasting, no food. Some people do no food, no water. Then we have no food with water. Then we have fasting with juices. Then we have fasting, the traditional fast that charismatics have is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. But the Bible fast is 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. At least that's what I heard Kenneth Hagin say. It's 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. the morning. And that 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. fast is what makes people put on weight. It makes you grow fat. It's very bad for your health. Because after 6, you start with your breakfast. Then you move to your lunch. Then you move to your supper. And you have about 3 meals between 6 and midnight. And then you sleep with it. And you must know that when it comes to putting on weight, your body uses, just like you use your money in your pocket, not the one in your bank. Like if you walk out here, the money you have on you is what you use. So when you eat, that's the money you have on you. In the morning, if you eat in the morning, the food in your stomach is the money you have on you. So during the day, you just use up what you put in your stomach. But in the night, you are not going anywhere. And you put a lot of money in your pocket and you are not using. So it goes to the bank. And the banks are your big bottoms. And your big stomach. You are banking it because... Yes. It's Dr. Nosh who taught me that. He showed me that principle. Yes. I always remember when he explained to me why you put on weight in the night, when you eat in the night. He's the one. You can see him after church. He will explain to you. So 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. is another fast. And then fasting without eating pleasant bread. Yes. Pleasant bread. Daniel's fast. 21 days. It never say it's not a fast. It's a very genuine fast. And as you get older and you start having diseases and different ailments and different things, sometimes even dangerous to fast. I know somebody who fasted and died after. I know many people who've died after fasting. A pastor friend told me about a pastor who was fasting for 70 days. He met him at the airport with a bottle of water and would tell, drink this, drink. He doesn't want to drink. Fasted for 70 days and after that he died. Yes. Oh, he was always fasting. And praying. Yeah. And then Daniel. I ate no pleasant bread. That's it. I ate no pleasant bread. So like what you normally eat and what is pleasant to like if you're having a good time. You know? Because I remember one time a brother came to visit my wife and I. We told him to come home. He wasn't married at the time. When he came, we gave him food. You know, which we thought was food. And the food we gave him was rice, like rice and curry or rice and whatever. Jollof rice, those of you who know, that's what we gave him. And as he was eating, he looked very sad. So I said, what is wrong? Is everything okay? He said, to him, rice is a dessert. Rice is a dessert. Like, it's not solid enough to make an impact in his life. So, maybe in his case, rice would be unpleasant bread. I don't know. For some people, bread is not food. But I tell you, I was once in Beirut, in Lebanon, you know, and they told me, we are taking you for a special dinner. It's a feast. So I was saying, there's a feast tonight. There's a feast tonight. When we were there, I was wondering that, when is the feast coming? But that was the feast. Bread and little things. If you know Lebanese food, so many little. So I was wondering, where's the feast? Well, the feast should start soon. It's getting late. The feast should start. But that was the feast. That was the feast. No. So everybody has what is pleasant bread. Yes. And even less bread. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So we need fasting. You can't be spiritual and just eat whatever you are, whatever you want. You can't just do whatever you want. You know, I once heard Fred Price. It's like, he said, if a pastor has a pot belly, he said he cannot receive from the pastor. He says, no. He said he cannot receive.
Wow.
If the pastor is preaching, he says, I cannot receive. Yes. Like if he's preached, he said, I can't. He said, I'm sorry, I just can't. It's like, to him, the person is not serious. Fred Price. Yes. Yes. Yeah. He said, if he's overweight, he said, I'm sorry. I just can't receive. So since then, I began to hide my small pot belly. Hey! Many pastors are not spiritual. Meanwhile, the work you are doing is spiritual. The work you are doing is spiritual, first of all. Spiritual. It's all spiritual. There are spirits. Spirits that are present, fighting, opposing. I mean, when you hear the work of the devil and his names reveal what he is doing. The accuser. Of the opposite of what you are. The other day I heard some people accusing me of something. That's the opposite. If you listen to my preaching, you hear how much I tell people to have understanding for certain things. And compassion. Understand certain things. People cannot help themselves in many cases. You hear me preaching. But the devil is called the accuser. Then the devil is called the opposer, the adversary. So whatever you are trying to do with your life, your ministry, it is going to be opposed. No calling goes unopposed. No president goes unopposed. No pastor goes unopposed. There's nothing like a pastor who is unopposed. You know, in politics, no party will sit down without an opposition. They will oppose you to the end. No matter how good you are, what you do, what policies you come up with, nobody goes unopposed. So you are being opposed as you are relaxed, sleeping all night, sleeping all day, relaxing, eating, doing everything normally. There's no modification of your lifestyle, even as a so-called called minister. You are just the same. You think it's just media, PowerPoint, computer. Ministry is spiritual in its original format. It's a spiritual thing. Think about Jesus Christ. The devil, he started by going to the wilderness to pray and defeat the devil. That's the first thing that he did. I mean, and what do we do first? So you see a pastor who wakes up and you just walk out of the room for the day. But not so with the people who have achieved great things, like Yonggi Cho. You know, the other day I was with him and he was explaining about how he prays. I just asked him whether he still does that. Because I hear he wakes up at 3 every day to pray. So I asked, do you wake up? Then a pastor sitting next to me, he doesn't just wake up at 3. He wakes up and then changes his pajamas into going out clothes, like what you are wearing. with shoes and everything, he's going to work. Then he goes to another room or whatever to pray that that is his life. He said one day I heard him say, I've been praying 5 hours every day for 30 years, 40 years praying. These are people that dislodge the devils from your life. So if you start a new life of prayer, a new life of just speaking in tongues and doing things spiritual, you see, you will notice a change will come, and the powers of darkness, when you speak to people, they don't listen, they don't change, they don't hear, they don't understand. You see that it will change. It starts to change. No pastor goes unopposed. I am opposed. I am opposed all the time. Because it, the devil's work is to oppose me. Frustrations are caused by devils. I'll tell you something. I'll show you just something. Try in your house and see whether it doesn't happen. If you like lose your keys or you are doing something that's very frustrating, bind the devil. Satan, I bind you. Take your hand off my keys. You see the keys immediately. You see it immediately. Try it. Try it at home and see. Try it. You are trying to go somewhere. You try to spark the car. Something. I mean, strange things that happen. They're all small demons. Frustrations, opposition, delaying, computer not coming on, many things, stealing, take away your instrument, these different things. Try binding and you will see. So, most unspiritual and non-spirituality, unspiritual, is the problem that must be addressed, and there will be radical changes in everything about you. Yes. Start skipping some of the meals. Start becoming, look, a pastor. You know, one day I met some people, all they were doing, we had these pastors, and the church is not growing. Anytime a church is not growing, just go a bit into the background of the pastor. Just go a little. So when I had these two guys, the church was not working. So I said, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? He said, oh, we watch films. Watch films during the day. Then at 4 o'clock, we go for outreach. You are watching films. Eh? James Bond. And Steven Seagal. Killing people. And then at 4 o'clock, you go for outreach. I mean, how will the church grow? If you have time to watch, when I sit on a plane, I hardly ever watch a film. Sometimes, I ask, why did I watch this film? Many times I watch a film, I can spend 2 weeks or 3 weeks watching the same film because it's only 5 minutes I can watch it for, then it's over. Because sometimes I prefer to watch a film than to watch the news because I know that at least they are acting. You know, but and they admit that they are lying when they start. They say that the person who jumped is not really jumping. The person who doing this is not really. But in the news, they don't tell that. They don't say that they are lying when they tell lies. So sometimes I prefer to watch James Bond because I know that it's not true. When he jumped out of the plane, fall on the parachute, he's able to escape everything. He's able to fight. I know that it's not true, and it's more relaxing for me. Yes. 10 people shoot you, but you don't die. Are you still around? Yeah. How many are going to become more spiritual? Yeah. There are devils, I tell you. They are real. They are affecting everything. So, Pastor Chris, you need to be in your room. You see, and then you are just there. Pastors need to be relaxed in prayer for hours. Yes. You know, one time I look at my pastors and I realize that it's the pastors who can stay at home all day and who don't go out. They can be in the... You ask, what are you doing at home? They are just at home. And they are like, not watching films, but they are just, they pray. They are not babysitting or they don't have to go and go and pick the children, go come here, go and do this because I'm working, you are not working. You know, when I started full-time ministry, I told my wife, I'm also working. Yes. Because before I realized, I'm the one going to pick the children, I'm the one cooking, I'm the one doing shopping, I'm the one doing, I say, hey, red card, no.
I'm working,
I'm praying. It's my work. When she went to work, her friends were asking, so your husband no more works? Your husband no more work? People think that full-time ministry is no more working. Full-time ministry is hard work. Hard work. Those of you who are just sitting there collecting salaries from the church without working, I'll call Fred Price to catch you, you'll see. Yes. So learn how to just be in the house. Oh my shandele bekabana babanda. Hey, Rama Mandala. These are what the devil doesn't like at all. Prayer. He doesn't like prayers at all. If you don't want the devil to like, don't pray. But if you pray, if you are prayerful, Satan doesn't like such things at all. Somebody who prays. A pastor who prays. You would have thought that I should preach to Christians about prayer. No, I'm talking to pastors about prayer. Because if I ask the pastors, that people will not own up. But a lot of us, we are not praying much. Pastors can be busy. Yes. Now, what happened in Acts chapter 6? Peter, in verse 1. Those days, the number of disciples multiplied. So there was a lot of administrative work. Widows were being neglected. Well, a lot of problems came up. Verse 2. Then the 12 called and said, it's not right or reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, which is what many of us in the ministry are doing. We are serving tables, like we are doing something earthly. So wherefore, let's look at seven brethren full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, so that we leave this whole issue to them. Not unanointed secular guys, but anointed guys who can handle the secular work. But we, in verse 4, we will give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. This is why. Why? Why prayer? Prayer about what? Prayer about anything is good enough, I tell you. Pray. Just, this is a pastor. These are the first pastors ever to be released into the world. Peter and co. These are the first, since the church was created, the original first pastors are Peter and co. And this is what happened to them. What happened to them is what happens to us. We are inundated with activities, tasks, issues. Many pastors whose wives work in the secular world become babysitters, running errands, do the shopping, cooking, and everything. And they say they are in full-time ministry. You are not in full-time ministry. You are in domestic ministry. You are in domestic ministry. Even the people in the house, even the people at home, need to know that. Yes. The house, sometimes the house helps, the maids, servants, and so on. And I realized when I first got my house, I was staying in my house, I had my study where I received the anointing for healing. That room, you know. And there, they used to come and knock on the door to call me. So-and-so is here. This was. And I realized that the guy did not see seriously when I was in the room. It's like, maybe he thinks I'm sleeping for a long time. You know, so I put a sign on the door. If you knock on this door and receive no response from within, do not continue knocking or call for me. If you do anything which contradicts this simple instruction, be it known unto you that this door will not be opened unto you, no matter who you are. That's the sign I put there.
That's a paragraph.
Yes. And then in addition, I called the young man who was working in the house with us. I told him that the next time I am in this room and you come and knock on the door, That's your last day. Start packing. And when you do, start packing your things. When you do like this, go and start packing. You are going home to where you came from. People want to reduce ministry to what it is not. It's like, it's nothing. You are just a pastor. You are not working. You just stay home. You just come with one sermon. That's why churches don't grow. All the members that I have all over the world, they are people that are captured from Satan's grips. Yes. There are people, all of you South Africans, my children who are here, you are captured. Yes. Captured from Satan. You would have been whatever. You know, one day I had a pastor called, I don't know, Tabo, one of these names. He said to me, all my friends are dead. In South Africa, I said, we were armed robbers. All, they are all dead. He said, I'm the only one, I'm a pastor. Because I gave my life to Christ. I came to the church. He said, all my friends I was with, they are all dead. Tabo, one of the names. Yeah, Tabo. True. Satan wants to kill people, but it's like your prayers moves him. Look at Mark chapter 5. Notice, Mark 5. It says they came over to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, and they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Look at what the devil was doing to this man. And what was this man doing? Dwelling among the tombs. Nobody could bind him. No, not be uncontrollable people. The devil makes people uncontrollable. Where you see people, you can't tell us what to do. You can't come to our country and tell us what to do. You can't say, sit down, get up, stand up. What do you mean? You can't call us. Many persons in South Africa cannot call their members. All of you come. All of you go this way. We are all having a meeting. All of you sit down here. The people just get up, walk out, walk in, walk out, walk all the time. You can't tell us what to do. You can't come from your country and tell us what to do. Uncontrollable. He says that none could bind him. Go back. None could bind him. Nobody could bind him. Not even with chains. Uncontrollable people. It's devils that make people uncontrollable. Yes. Uncontrollable. You can't advise. You can't change. You can't speak to them. You can't say sit down. You can't instruct them. You can't command them. Well, the Bible says, I know Abraham. He will command his household after me. He would say clearly, do this. I know Abraham. That's why I'm going to talk to him. I know Abraham. Look at this. For I know him that he will command his children. And his command. He will command. I mean, you see people coming out of a house. One trousers is long. One is short. Half cut somewhere with a hole somewhere. And he's not mad though. He's not mad. He's coming from somebody else. And he has a father. You can't control him. You can't control him. He's not mad. He's where half this way, halfway, half the hairstyle, different things. And he's not a mental patient. He's normal. And he's coming from your house. As a father, you can't control your child. Hey! Hey! Control your children. I told my children, I said, when you leave this house, you can join any religion, but when you are here, everybody in this house, including the dogs and the cats, are Christians. And we'll go to church. Nobody could bind him. No, not with chains. Because he had been often bound and he just broke it in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Untamable people with drugs, violence, disease, problems, issues. You can't advise. You can't instruct. It's devils. This is what the devil. This is the best example, Mark 5, of the devil working on a human being till a power meets him. And night and day in the mountains, crying and cutting himself with stone. People do drugs. They know it's hurting me, but I'm doing it. They do other things that destroy them. I know I don't like it. I don't want to. So he was cutting himself and at the same time crying. Then you take another stone. Like crying, crying, crying. I know it's killing me. I know it's hurting me. Huh? It's destroying me. And I'm doing it. Only explained by the devil. It's in the Bible. And we are maintaining our non-spiritual stance. Executive pastors. Men without the spirit. Men without the power. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped. A man full of demons ran to church. It shows that such people come to churches. Yes. People with devils come to church all the time. The devils were not out of him when he ran to Jesus. He had the devils and he came to church. Even in the synagogue, Mark 1, the man whom Jesus cast the devil out, he was in church. So you need, and he worshiped this man. Most of us don't run to church. We stroll to church. We come late to church. This man was running to church. And he was a worship. Maybe he was in the worship choir. You never know. Maybe he was a worship leader. Look at it. When he saw him, he ran and he worshiped him. Verse 7. And he cried with a loud voice. Now the devil took over. You see, this is the main thing. People with devils switch from normal to devil. Normal to devil. So sometimes you wonder, which one am I listening to now? What am I talking to? And you find the person has two worlds. One world, the people think the person is very nice. And the other world, people see the person differently. Yes. Yeah. It's always switching. It's interchange. An interchange. Yes. So that's why you can have a funeral of a very bad person and you would think that it's the funeral of an angel. Like, when I say an angel, like what I mean is like maybe an angel was sent from heaven on a mission to Cape Town and something unfortunately happened and the angel died without being able to go back to heaven. So we have to assemble to have the funeral of the angel. Do you understand? And you can hear accolades, tributes about this angel. And there will be others sitting there saying, I don't know the person as an angel. I don't know the person. Because you may be the one who you see the worshipping and the running to. But another person sees the devil side. Oh yes. People have that. That's why in mental they call it bipolar. Two poles, left and right. Bipolar. Or schizophrenia, which is madness. Which is split personality. The person is split down the middle. Has two worlds. People who come out, they can come out and behave very nicely. Oh, hello. How are you? Oh, we're so glad to see you. Oh, so nice. Oh, have a seat. Would you like something to drink? Oh, glory to God. We were so blessed by your ministry today. Thank you for your preaching. Then that same person goes home. Hey. Change completely. That's why you don't have to marry at love at first sight. You must love after some time. Not love at first sight. Love after some time. So that you see whether they are bipolar or split personalities or devils on the left and something else on the right. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. So now the devil took over and started shouting, so what do I have to do? Don't torment me. Then he said, come out. unclean spirit, come out. Jesus wasn't impressed with the worship. Jesus wasn't impressed with the worship. Most pastors today don't have discernment. And they are so impressed with the spiritual and religious behavior of demonized people. Many demonized people have religious behavior. Hey, they can sing hymns and songs.
How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrow, heals his wounds,
and drives.
And you have another side, completely different. Come out. It's like somebody come to you and say, I love you so much. I'm so blessed by your ministry. Then you turn to the person, Satan, come out of you. This is what happened. Do you understand? Like, can you imagine somebody come after the preaching and you say, I was so blessed. I was so touched. Pastor, I thank God for your life. I really thank God for your life every day. If I hadn't come to this church, I don't know what would have happened to me. And you immediately turn to the person and say, Satan, come out! After the person has praised you and thanked you for your ministry, worship you. You say, Satan, come out. I'm not impressed. I'm not moved by your praises. I know who you are. And he asked him, what is thy name? Aha. This is the big question for dealing with devils. What am I dealing with? Many of us are dealing with spirits which have names. Now, if I say to you, go out! Everybody is looking. Go out! But if I shout, Pastor Scombozo, go out! Go! Then you immediately know it's you. And then you respond. But if I just say, come. So most of us are doing, come, come, come. You now need to know what spirit is fighting you. Some of you have a spirit of divorce fighting you. A spirit wants you to divorce. Yes. Some of you have spirit of immorality. The different versions of immorality. You know the versions. You know. Some of you have spirit of lies. Some of you have spirit of poverty. Some of you have a spirit of church decrease. Like there are specific spirits. Kenneth Hagin went to preach in a place. He was praying in the church. This ceiling reminds me of that. He was praying and he looked up and suddenly the ceiling disappeared. And there was a big monkey right in the rafters. And he said, come on. And the thing jumped. Can you imagine from this height? Landed in the middle of the church. He said, go out. Go out. And he walked out of the church. Yeah. And from then the church began to grow. Yeah. So, I mean, you don't have to have a vision. You just need to pray. And if they are, because you may not have such a wild vision. I've had a vision where I saw the ceiling moving and I saw flies. Yes, in Germany. So the place may be nice, but a lot of spirits there. Yes. It was a nice place, nice city, but demons. Are you with me?
Yes.
So, you must know how to deal with the spirits. Then he said, my name is Legion. We are many. And sometimes we are many. Most people don't deal with one devil. So one time I had a prayer meeting. I said, write down three devils that are following you. The names. Write it down. Three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Sometimes spirit of death. Spirit of sickness and disease. Spirit of family conflict. Spirit of accident, tragedies. Evil spirits. Yesterday I had a message from someone. She said her brother fell off a mountain in Ghana. We don't have high mountains. Fell off a mountain. That's the second, her brother, that's the second brother to die in a while. A short while. Yeah. We don't have high mountains. Just working on the mountain and then fell off the mountain. Driving up the mountain, fell off the mountain. They couldn't even recognize who it was. They used his phone to find out who he was. Yeah. Strange things. Evil spirits fighting. So you need to now find. One day I took my time and I wrote down the names of seven devils. I wrote them. These ones are following. And I recognize them because they are persistent. It has never stopped for years. Yes. Seven of them. Oh, yes. Seven of them. This. I wrote it in a way, if you even read it, you will not know what it is. And I gave them names. I even gave them code names. I always bind them. I know them. Yeah. And I noticed their power over my life reduced. They followed me from the time I was just about to enter ministry till today. Yes. More than 20, 30 years. It never goes on. You can only shift it. You can block it. But it keeps coming back because that's the nature of Satan in life, in ministry. Yes. Are you still around? You know, I had a young man from, I think, one of these countries. He's also colored. Either Namibia, South Africa, one of them. He's been clean. He was in gangs. He was in whatever, serving the Lord now. When he came home for holiday, the gangs were after him. Wanted him to join. Want him to drink. Want him to do this. And he doesn't do any of those things anymore. You see, Satan has no respect for how long you've been away from things. Like you've been for the last 3 years. You don't do something. He has no regard at all. It doesn't matter. So you need to be specific. Yes, you need to be specific. And you need to count, what is thy name? What is the name of what I am dealing with? What is the name? And when you call the name, the person is shocked. The devil is shocked that you've mentioned his name. Yes. Now, Pastor Skumbuzu, come. Uh-huh. Come. Stand here. Stand here. Okay, come. Not you. Come. Come. You see, nobody else is coming. But the one whose name I mentioned has come. So, moving of devils is very related to knowing their names. Yeah. That's why Jesus asked, what is your name? So that I can mention your name and command you. Amen. You'll never be a devil in Jesus' name. Kenneth Hagin, when he had a vision of Jesus, you know, that's what actually drew my attention to this scripture. The Lord told him that always find out the name of the devil. Then he said to him, you will notice that when I was casting out the devil from the madman, I asked the name. He told him in a vision, deal with it by the name. And I want to tell you, go back to your childhood. Go back to when you started. Go back to years ago. You will see something that comes comes, like Jesus, he came. If you are the Son of God, everything was if you are the Son of God. I've never had that temptation because I'm not the Son of God. So I've never been told if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. It doesn't come to me. But for Jesus, it was his temptation from his youth, from his ministry, all through to the end. His last 5 minutes on earth was, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Same thing. So you like go. If it is this sin, this problem, and I'm restricted here, I can't say what certain things, but you find out that if it's this problem, it keeps coming. It's not easy. We are dealing with spiritual power. Yes. And they are persistent. They are persistent. That is why our prayers must be persistent. And our prayers must be for hours. Because sometimes you don't even know when the spirit is gone. Yeah. True. Now, another way you can know spirits that are working is by knowing where you are from and the area you are in. You see, if you are a South African, there are certain things that are among the black community, certain things among the white community, certain things among the colored community. I mean, if in Ghana, there are some places where the women are proud, the men are proud, or they quarrel a lot. If you are from there, you shouldn't even say, oh, me, I'm not like this. It's likely. There are some parts of Ghana, the women are known for having affairs. Like they are beautiful ladies with, you know, charms. Maybe you are from there. Quarrelsome, stubborn. There are some places that they are stubborn. I don't know if you have stubbornness here. Do you have stubbornness here? Well, I thought it was only in Ghana we had such spirits. So then you should assume that you are stubborn. And bind that spirit in your life. There are some places they don't understand anything. When you talk and talk and they still don't understand. Do you have such places in South Africa? Plenty? So you should assume that you are also affected by that spirit. Not that they are affected by that spirit. You are affected by that spirit. And you should bind it in your life every day. When it comes to your section of prayer for binding devils, take it up. Take 7 things. Take 7. Name them. You see it is there. It is following you. It is following you. It is following you. It is following you. It is following. It's like a dog. Kenneth Hagin said one day he saw his son-in-law in a vision, and he saw 3 dogs following him. 3 dogs. He said his son-in-law could not keep a job. Could not keep a job, was not able to stay normal, stay in a certain way. Buddy Harrison. He said he saw him in a vision with 3 dogs following him. And he said the Lord said to him, say to the spirit, I command you to desist in your maneuvers and operations against my son-in-law. Yeah. Whatever spirit is following you today, I command it to desist in its maneuvers and operations against you in the name of Jesus. Wow. How many understand why we must be more in the prayer, 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 prayer. Amen. Wow. Tell somebody, I'm now the most prayerful Cape Townian Christian you can ever think of. Now, I have something in my spirit that I want to share with you. Now, now listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So I was telling you that there are only 2 things that you can do with the devil, mainly. Okay? And one is to relocate them or push them away, temporarily or briefly. Isn't it? To allow, it's like insects. They can't go forever. You go, you spray, and they sort of just come back. Like I told you, he doesn't wait to be invited back. His nature is to come when he's not called. That's why some people, you say, don't call us, we'll call you. So everybody say, relocation of devils. Temporary shifting of devils. Spraying of insects. Blocking of lions. Mosquito net to keep snakes out of. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, out of that room. So that they want to climb in. Yes. And there are different types of devils. It's like snakes. Black mamba is the one you see in the afternoon. You see a snake in the afternoon, it's a black mamba. And the others are in the night. The black mamba is fearless. This is the bad one. You wouldn't want to meet one. Now, the second thing you can do about the devil is found in 2 Corinthians 10, yes. Go to 2, 3, 4, okay? The weapons of our warfare. They are mighty, okay? To do what? Pulling down strongholds, which is what people were saying, that like you pull down a stronghold, but it moves away and then it sets it a stronghold just next door. So they don't go far. Yeah. But thank God for Psalm 23 says, which says that he sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So our ministry is in the presence of devils. A lot of things we are doing is in the presence of devils. It's real, the presence of devils. All right, now, it says, let's go to verse 5. Now, this is the work of the devil. This is the work of, the next thing you can do about the devil is casting down imaginations. Okay, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing to captivity every thought. So, this is the way to fight the devil. You see, what I am doing now, teaching for a long time, verses, scriptures, it's a camp meeting, what I call a camp, is one of the most painful experiences for the devil. This is real spiritual warfare. Because the devil works by planting thoughts, imagination, and fixated opinions. And when a pastor sometimes touches an opinion which Satan is trying to fill the masses with that mind, then it causes a big reaction. And you see, yes, because it's imagination and knowledge, thoughts. Do you see? So one of the things I will tell you as a secret is think always that a thought is a devil. An imagination is a devil because we cast down imaginations. Once there is a thought, there is a devil. So that is the same thing. When you are casting the thought, you are casting the devil. If there is a person sitting in front of you and the person has a bad thought, it's like a devil sitting there. So when certain thoughts come into people's minds, devils have come into their minds. That is why the message on loyalty, Doctor, can I have these books, is so powerful and fights the devil in churches more than almost anything. Because anyone trying to build a church is struggling with thoughts that are entering the hearts of the people. Yeah. You take, give me all of them. You take those who forget. Pastors labor for years and people forget about them, especially the older ones. You know, if you are, sometimes you that's why pastors sometimes will not even want to resign and hand over. Because if you hand over, it's like Some young upstart will come up and just manifest and behave as if those who are fathers and who have labored don't know what they were doing. I have met many churches where the sons of the pastors, and one time I was in a church, I told them, I said, you better respect your father. When you were a little boy, he was building this building. You didn't know anything. And now it's like you know everything. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. I've seen it several times. Those who forget. Hebrews says that we are not unrighteous to forget. God is not unrighteous to forget. So when you teach against forgetting, you are blocking demons. And you need to teach sons, children, young people, all of you. Look at the crusades that we had in South Africa. I've been in South Africa, gone around South Africa, preaching, spending money, preaching the gospel, not about anything else. Don't forget it. The seeds that are sown. The churches. We built churches. We bought buildings. Money from elsewhere to build churches in South Africa and help South Africa. People forget all these things. So you have to teach them. Otherwise, the demon will just creep into their thinking. And then the thoughts they have are devil thoughts. I tell you. They'll just set you aside. Yeah, that's why, you know, that's why people advise, don't hand over your church. Be in charge. You'll be forgotten. And if you don't teach people to remember fathers and mothers, they will naturally be demonized and not remember. Just like men. God is not unrighteous to forget. Forgetting is unrighteousness. Yeah. So when I preach this, you see, I'm casting down imaginations and strong thoughts which are fixed. And one of the strong thoughts Satan wants to put in our minds is that things, like he wants people, everybody to think that this is right or this is wrong. Uh-huh. So it's like something to pervade until everybody believes it. You just wake up and that's what you believe. Let's take Europe, for instance. They don't believe in God. Europe. They don't believe in God. 99% of Germans, Norwegians, Swedish, Swiss, French do not believe that there is a God. 99%. Where you can hardly meet a white man in Europe who believes in God. It's like meeting a lion on the street outside here. It's very unlikely. And where does it come from? It's a seed sown and an imagination sown into the world by, what is his name? Robert Ingersoll, and the other man who was against the Bible being printed, Voltaire, and these guys. Robert Ingersoll printed a book, The Age of Reason. Yes. So it started, though, you know, like from 1600. Until now, you rarely can meet a European who believes that God is existing. I mean, literally. And it started slowly, like some of the things that are trying to come into your country. Slowly, until you'll be surprised. People will believe they are flying. You tell them, no one is walking on earth. Everybody is flying. It will go for some time. Everybody will say, how can you say we are flying? We are walking. But after some years, everybody will say, no, we don't live on earth. We fly. Like, you can't believe the opposite of reality and normalcy is accepted and even considered a crime to say that something that is like you are flying. It's a crime to say that you are walking on that. You must only say you are flying, because we have been made to believe that we fly. That's what has happened in Europe. They do not believe that God exists. You don't know me. I've been to Europe so much, so many times. I've witnessed. Talk to somebody. Do you believe Jesus, I believe in myself. And they tell you, are from Africa. You have so many problems in Africa. That's why you believe in God. It's a standard. And even Africans who go and live in Europe for some time, especially if they go young, that's it. That's why I told my wife, you know, when our children were younger, I said, even if I'm dead, never send my child to school in Europe. Never. They should go to school here in Africa and not go there and come up and come back and tell me that there is no God. One man, he's so sad. He sent his daughter to school in Europe. She has come back. She's cut off her breast. She's doing this. She says she's this, she's that, she's whatever. There's no God, nothing. Yeah, you can't believe it. Yeah. But it's normal. It's normal that she looks at us and she says, you people are crazy. You are brainwashed in Ghana. You are this, you are that. But it's normal there. And it started from Robert Ingersoll, Voltaire, and they said there is no God. So I'm saying that Satan works through imaginations. That's why there's all the churches are empty in Europe. Oh, they are turning to restaurants. Everything. It's small. So when pastors do not stand and are not clear, we don't understand what we are doing. We are just opening the door. Come in. And that's why I said, if you like, die and wake up after 50 years and come back to this country or any other country, and you'll be surprised what they believe. You'll be surprised you look so odd to say anything about anything anymore. Thoughts. So all these teachings, those who are dangerous sons, those who are dangerous. You see, you should study it and teach it in the church so that if you have a son or you bring up people, they will never be dangerous. Because if you leave them, devils will come into their mind. They will turn against you. Your own sons. Your own sons. Not biological, spiritual and biological too. I've seen biological sons be against their fathers. I tell you, not that somebody said, I saw it. Casting down imagination, those who leave you. I am sure you have it in South Africa. People who leave churches, this one will break away, divide the church into two. Look at the prodigal son. He divided his father's church into two. Half of the members went and half stayed. His father had only two members and one was gone. Of his father's church left. Half. One over two is equal to 0.5. It's equal to half. Those who leave you. If you like, don't teach it. If you like, don't read it. If you like, don't understand it deeply. If you like, don't learn it until you can preach without even referring to the scriptures. If you like, be there. Devils are coming. Just like one spray, then all the insects will just come right back. You just shoot, pa, 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 and the lion will go, then it will come back later. You know the lion which used to come, was it called? I forget the name. There was a lion in South Africa, I think it was, or Zimbabwe, South Africa. It came to eat people all the time. There were two lions. Yeah. They came back every evening. It was always coming back. Huh? Kenya? Was it in Kenya? Yeah. I forgot the name, the story. What was it called? There's a film about it. Ghost comes. What? Ghost in the darkness. Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's it. Yeah. Comes back. Ghost comes back. Ghost comes back. That's why we keep preaching. It's never enough. You can't look. I live in Ghana. Eh? We have mosquitoes. It helps you to understand devil. You spray, they'll come back. Do you have it here too? You spray, they go away. I tell you, after some time, they are back. You don't call them, but they come. Don't call us, we call you. But they still come without being called. Hey! Snakes! You can't even know where they are. I have seen snakes in every house I've lived in. And I never could understand how the snake could come there. So that you look at a nice church and you wonder, how can a serpent come to this nice, wonderful place? Possible. How possible? It's too nice. The worship is too lovely. The spirit is too sweet. The members are too happy. Things are too good. The finances are so great. Ah, how can the devil come here? One day I was not in my house and somebody killed a snake. Look, when they showed me the length of the snake, this is not a newcomer. He has been in the house for some time. How did he get there? So you need to keep praying. So prayer, that's why, go to Acts 6:4 again. We will give ourselves to the ministry of the word. Verse 4. The ministry of prayer and to the ministry of the word. These are the two anti-devil things. Prayer and the word. Yeah. Prayer dislodges, it moves them. It moves them. And this one blocks the minds, devil imaginations. Oh, yeah. And look, if you have a congregation, remember this, it will soon occur to them to leave you. If you have an assistant pastor, it will soon occur to him to leave you. Oh, I'm wrong. Am I wrong? Am I wrong about what I'm saying? Huh? If you like, try to have a church. It will soon, not so long, it will be occurring to him. When he goes on mic and comes on stage and says, "Hallelujah, church! Hallelujah, church! Are you blessed today? Glory to God! Oh, that was a powerful message our pastor gave us today. Glory to God, and thank God for the move. This is a wonderful church." Turn to your neighbor and say, "What a wonderful family we have." Turn to your neighbor and say, "What a wonderful..." As he's standing there, it's occurring to him that, yes, maybe I should have this wonderful family. And they don't even really want the senior pastor. It is me who makes the church nice. It's occurring to him. It's occurring to him. It's when you are new in ministry, you think that I'm extreme. But even if I'm extreme, we fight extremes with extremes. You can see pastors who are dying financially, churches are going down because you allow the devil, you allow the insects to come, you allow mosquitoes to bite you. You allow the mosquitoes to bite you. You allow the lion into the church. You allow the snake to sleep. One day I saw a film, some guy was sleeping in bed and the snake was looking for warmth. You know, they need heat to warm them up. You know, Steve. The cobra was just sliding. Ah, he was just, oh. Ah. Some of you are holding the devil. Ah, come closer. Come closer. Those who pretend. When he comes on stage to preach, "Hallelujah, church, glory to God. This is a beautiful family." Turn to your neighbor and say, "What a wonderful family." It's occurring to him. And sometimes he's pretending. He says, "Oh, pastor, that was wonderful." All his smiles are fake. Shall I tell you how to know a fake smile? Somebody who smiles all the time is fake. There's nothing like smiling all the time. Once you smile all the time, it's fake. How can you smile all the time? Are you happy all the time? Is there anybody who is happy all the time? How come you are smiling always?
It's not true.
Those who pretend.
One day I went to preach in a church. When I finished preaching, like how I'm preaching now, I finished preaching about loyalty, and the pastor came, well, the assistant, one of the assistants came to say, thank you. Thank you for the message. Watch out for those who are always smiling. And I said, thank you. When I left, he told his pastor, who told him that we are quarreling in the church? Like, why was I preaching about this loyalty? Who told me that we are quarreling in the church? But to me, he said, oh, thank you. We were blessed. Bye-bye. Take care. Safe journey. Bye-bye. The next year, I came back to the church. I preached the same. I forgot what I was, not that I was led, but I forgot what I was preaching the last year. So I preached the same thing again. And it was powerful. Yeah. Yeah. And then he came to me again and he said, smiling. Thank you. Thank you. He told the pastor after, ah, what is this? Does he not have any other message to preach? Then the pastor liked the message and invited me again. And the third year, I still forgot what I preached the year before. And I preached the same loyalty and disloyalty. Yes. You know, because of that, these days sometimes I have my secretary tell me, what did I preach when I went to this place? Because I couldn't remember. So I preached the same loyalty and disloyalty. Hey! Hey! And this time the pastor came to me and said, oh, thank you, we were blessed. Okay, safe journey, bye-bye. I said, bye-bye, safe journey too. And I tell you, he went to see his pastor and said, what is wrong with this man? Then he took the book. He said, loyalty. Then he held the book. This is not even a book. It's not even a book. Then he threw it to the ground. And he stamped on it. Pah! Pah! This is not a book. He said, I know books. This is not a book. Meanwhile, he had come to me to say, thank you, we were blessed. This is those who pretend. The church is filled with pretenders. The church is filled with pretenders. Many pastors are pretenders. They are pretending. You think he's with you, but he's not with you. His heart is not with you. He pretends to be with you, but his heart is not with you. Yes. Thank you so much. We were blessed. But his heart is not with you. Watch out for that's why you need to know the signs of disloyalty. Yes, you better know the symptoms and signs. No, doctor, I can't see your liver. But if I want to examine this lady's liver right now, I say, excuse me, ma'am, can I examine your liver? You see, I can't see. Do you know where your liver is? Your liver is down here under your ribs, behind, under your skin, inside. But I'm going to examine this lady's liver right now. You watch. Da-dum, da-dum. Ta-da, ta-da. Can you stretch out your hand, please? Do this. Thank you. I know what's happening to your liver. Yes. I've looked for certain symptoms, certain signs, I should say. And I know something about her liver. Ah, okay. I'm going to examine this lady's blood. Ta-dum, ta-da. Okay, thank you. No further questions. I've checked out her blood. The sign, that signs I know. Ma'am, can you hold your hand like this? No. Yeah? I want to see something. Hold it straight. Keep it there. Are you watching? I know something about her liver. You can't see? You guys!
You guys, you are blocking people. Watch out. Stand up, ma'am. Stand up, ma'am. Hold your hand this way. I'm looking for a sign. Isn't it? I don't see that sign. And I'm looking for her liver. Yeah. You are okay. You are living. Yeah. And you see, you wouldn't know that I can do that. So when you are trained, you can see the signs. Those who don't smile when you are preaching, like when everybody's smiling, they don't smile. Those who don't say amen when everyone says amen. Those who are not happy with messages on loyalty. Those who don't take notes when you are writing, when you are preaching. Everybody is happy. They are not happy. Those who come late for meetings. You say, we are having a meeting from Tuesday to Thursday, but they come only on Thursday and Friday. Watch out for all these guys. Those who always have a different opinion to everything. Yes. Those who sit at the back. At the back there. Those at the back. The far back. They always sit at the back. Never come to the front. Aye. Watch out. Huh? Yes. Those who speak undertone. And you can say, what did you say? Pardon? Did you say? Oh, nothing. Nothing? What were you saying to each other? I saw you talking. So you see, you will not see devils, but you can see the signs. Yeah. And you see that you have to fight the imaginations. Yes. If I have an assistant or assistant pastor, I'll always fight the imaginations, but I'm fighting the devils. And it's possible in South Africa. My South African church, I am surrounded by South Africans everywhere. Yes, I have many. They work with me. Some of you think, oh, South Africans are not like that. You know, South Africans are not Ghanaians or they are. You have allowed devils to be in your members. My South African children are just, I don't see the difference. I don't see the difference between South African and Ghanaian. When you do church work and you want to grow, don't see difference by nationalities and colors. I don't see differences. Yeah. Are you here or you are leaving? You have allowed devils to sit on your members' shoulders. Speak to them all the time. One day, there was a certain pastor. And this pastor had been in the ministry for 20 years. Yeah, 20 years, preaching. And he had a very beautiful wife who was also a singer. Hey! And one day, the wife went home. And she had a bath. And she was changing in front of the mirror. And she looked at herself. She said, wow, I'm shaped like a Coca-Cola bottle. I'm so beautiful. Hey. And in the vision, a devil, like a little monkey, came to sit on her shoulder. This was a clear vision. Jesus gave it. And the devil said to her, you are beautiful. You're so beautiful. When pastors, assistant pastors, and other pastors sometimes go on stage, the devil tells them, you are great. You are the best. You are powerful. There is none like you. And she immediately said, Satan, get thee behind, get out. And the devil came off her, went away. Another day she came, she finished bathing, she was again in the mirror. This time she was doing something with her eyebrows, then with her lips, then her hair, beautiful. Pastor's wife, hey. And she said, I'm beautiful, really beautiful. Meanwhile, she wasn't using her beauty at home. Yeah. It's just for show outside, eh? She says, Satan, I bind you, I curse you, I cast you, I reject you. Satan ran away. Third time in the dream, in the vision, came and sat on her. True story. She was changing. You are beautiful. This time she listened. This time she thought about it. You see, it's a thought. First time it occurred, when I tell you, you are flying in the air, you are not walking. First time you reject it. Second time I say, you are flying, you are not walking. Reject it. Third time you are flying. So yeah, I believe I'm flying. You can't believe something which is completely not true, they will believe it. Completely, unimaginably untrue. And this time, she said, it's true, I am beautiful. And the devil said, you could have been in the world. You would have, your singing is so nice. You would have been a great singer. You'd have made lots of money. You would have been famous. You know, for this life of following this pastor all these years. And she listened to it. And she changed. And I'm sure it began quarrels at home. Quarrels. Because there are thoughts behind people's minds that causes them to quarrel. Eventually, she left the home. And she went out and started to have different people. And she started singing in nightclubs instead of church. Yeah. Pastor's wife. And you know how this vision happened? I think 1952. Kenneth Hagin, yeah. You see, what happened was that he was in that pastor's house, the one whose wife left. He didn't know anything about the pastor. And the pastor had a little daughter. She was just 10 years old. And the pastor had remarried. Because this woman had left and had gone with so many different men. So he had remarried. He didn't know anything about it. So he said, every day, because the pastor was living alone with, I think, with his daughter. Or what, I don't know the arrangement, but there was this daughter. And he said, every night, he prays with the daughter before she goes to bed. So after church, they were sitting up talking. And the daughter was there. And then the daughter said, Daddy, I want to go to bed because I have to go to school early in the morning. And it's like she has to get up at 8. But they didn't have to go early because their meeting wasn't going to start early. So she said, okay, let Brother Hagin pray with us, pray with you before you to go to bed. So he said, he knelt down. You know, and then as he knelt down, he entered into the vision. About 1.5 hours. And he did not know the story. And the Lord showed him, said, this man, and he called, Jesus appeared to him and said, this is what happened to the man's marriage. And showed, you see, all this marriage judgment you are making about people married, and he showed it to him, how what happened to the wife, how she had those thoughts, how the devil came into her, and all that, all how it happened. He showed him. And he didn't know, he was kneeling by the man. 1.5 hours, he disappeared. Then at a point, he said, the wife was coming back. He didn't know. Kenneth Hagin didn't know. He said that Satan is harassing this man through his wife. So he said, I want you to stand and declare that whatever maneuvers and operations against this. And he called him. He said in the vision, he said, my friend. You know, and Papa Hagin always make that comment. He said that Jesus called him his friend. Somebody who had divorced. He said, he called him my friend. This my friend. Wow. Yes, he called the pastor my friend. Wow. He said that, I want you to bind every maneuver and every activity of the devil against him. That is harassing, intimidating, and attacking him. And he told him in the vision, anytime a pastor is being harassed, attacked, intimidated, you don't need a vision. It's a demon. He said, straight, you know that it's a demon. You don't need any vision or any whatever to know. It's always that. It's always harassed, attacked, accused, intimidated, frustrated. It's a demon. He said, you don't need it. I've listened to this vision. It's probably the vision I was listening to when God anointed me. I was listening to it again a few days ago. He was giving the details. He said, the pastor, when he came out of the vision, the pastor said, I asked him, what happened? Then he got to know. Then the pastor told him, yes, my wife came to town. My former wife, she came to town this week. He said, I'm having a program. And she was coming to make a scene in town. Because she was also jealous or not happy that he had maybe married again or whatever. Yeah. You know, many thoughts and ideas that come, they are spirits that are affecting people. Yeah, thoughts and ideas. And that's why preaching that is against thoughts, against certain ideas, is the anti-satanic preaching. Direct anti-satanic preaching. And you need to be careful of harassment of pastors. Harassment and attacks of pastors and intimidation. And he said, he called him. I said, my friend, you tell my friend this. And he heard him praying. He heard him praying in the vision. Yeah. Jesus appeared to him. Appeared to him from 1950. That was the first time. Up to 1958. 8 times. Jesus appeared to him. This is one of them. He was in the pastor's house. Yeah. Listen. Many things are spirits. As they fixate themselves on the congregation. Fixate themselves on pastors, assistants, helpers, businessmen. People who should love you and help. You don't teach them to love you, so they don't love you. You left them free thinking that you should know yourself that you should love me. You should know yourself how you should be faithful to me. You left them freely. And other things came in. Nobody sits down and just says, oh, the mosquitoes themselves should know they shouldn't touch me. Mosquitoes themselves should know that I am not ready to be drunk. That my blood is not available. Mosquitoes should know. No. You have to block it. If you leave it natural nature, it will come. Natural, natural, natural. It will happen. It will come. Yeah. Devils. Real. Real. They are real. Thoughts. People pretending, acting. Human beings, we are like, when he says, God is not a man that he should lie. We lie by our actions. We lie by our faces. We lie by our smiles. We lie by our comments. We lie by, our whole lives are lying. God is not a man. It's natural. And demons have affected human beings, I tell you. And that is why there is a need to be direct. It's the indirectness that allows the thing to keep going. That's why I said, what is your name? I know it's a devil. What is the name of this thing? It is those who forget exactly. That's why I changed the name of this book. It used to be called Remember. It's a little vague. But I said, no, it's specifically targeted at those who forget. It's targeted. It's a targeted message. It's an anti-satanic message. That's why I'm changing my book, Formula for Humility. I'm changing it to those who are proud. There's a name. It's those who are proud. It's a targeted message. No. If you leave it vague, it becomes vague. Yeah. Yeah. You need to be careful. Your best friend can be turned into a devil. Look, Jesus said, I choose you. You are my friend. One of you has become. Now, why do people become that? Because when the person, the spirit enters the mind, the person behaves like a devil because it's the mind that is the control box. You see, what is controlling is what it is. The body is the arm is just being used, but the thing is controlled from the devil box. Yeah. So these messages, those who pretend, those who leave you, and it's targeted about leaving. It's targeted against people who live and destroy your whole life. A pastor told me, he said, I had 3,000 members. 3,000. I went to America for 6 weeks. I left my assistant. And I told you, when the assistant goes on stage, it's occurring to him. He said, when I came back for 6 weeks with my family, the pastor said, I'm resigning. I'm leaving. And left. It's not that I read it in a book. He told me face to face. He said, how can you leave now? Why? What is wrong? What has happened? We just came from the holiday. He said, I have to leave. God wants me to leave. I'm leaving. He left. And can you believe? He said, 3,000 members. 1, 2, 3,000. Not 1,000. Not 2,000. 3,000 members. All of them left. He told me I was left with 18 people. 18 people, including my family, my wife, my children. We were 18 left. Yes. He died 3 months later. Yes. To complete the story, he died 3 months later. And the 3,000 people didn't come back. And he told me, he said to me, one day somebody gave me a book and I read your book. He said, I didn't know. If I had known, if you see a black mamba, you know, you have to know what it is. You know, when I was in Zimbabwe, I went at the Victoria Falls. There was a little shop, a kind of a zoo for snakes. And the guy said, all these snakes, I know them. I do this. But he said, when he got to the black mamba, he said, this one. When he opened it a little, he put a hook there, and it just moved. And he immediately said, this one is different. This one will come out in the afternoon. This one will chase you. It's a snake which chases people. The other one, you step on it. You made a mistake. This one will chase you. You run, it will fall, and it's faster than Usain Bolt. It will lift the head up, and one third of the body will be above the ground, and it goes at top speed, faster than a sprinter. This one. You meet those who leave you, those who accuse you. You know you have met a mamba. You've met something that can wipe out things. That guy met a mamba spirit. Wipe out his church. He told me, wipe out my church. And even when he died, the people didn't come back. He lost everything. Started all over again. Yeah, he died. He died 3 months later. Those who are dangerous. It's targeted. Those who forget. You leave them. They will forget. Everybody stand up. I feel like praying. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Father. Jesus. 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 Thanks, Jesus, for victory over devils, victory over evil, victory over wickedness. Thank you for giving us strong upper hand over whatever forces are working against our lives and ministries. Thank you for strength that is coming, Lord. Spiritual strength is coming. Stronger, Lord. Stronger men, women in you. Thank you for delivering us from wickedness in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Sit down, please. Hallelujah. Please sit down. No walking around. Thank you. Satan's power is broken. No walking around, please. Please give me a few minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Victory is declared over forces of wickedness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.